This is Radio Free Cybertron with your host, Brian Kilby, featuring Chris, Don, Rob, Diecast, John, and Melvar. For the latest Transformer news, reviews, and more, visit tformers.com.
This is Radio Free Cybertron, episode 555, recorded on, dang it, there's no five in the date, January 24th, 2018. I am Brian Kilby. With me this week, I am joined by a smiling, even though he was attacked by a cat earlier, Don Ferguson.
Because it's finally episode 555, I've been standing by for this episode for quite a while.
And there's Chris, who is face-palming. He's waving. Matt.
Hi.
Diecast.
Hello.
And Rob Clay.
Hi.
Oh, gentlemen. So we were talking pre-show about, if you watch us live at tfradio.net/live every Wednesday, you get pre-show. And it's always great. It's usually great. 2/3 of the time, it's great.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes we do have legitimately great conversation in the pre-show. Other times, it's us just being like, huh, so knockoffs of that do exist.
Well, that's true. But we were talking about TFCon and Diecast. We don't have news for it or anything. We're just talking about it. TFCon USA, again, is going to be in Chicago this year. Diecast's room is booked. There are rooms available. What is that, tfcon.com?
I think so. Just search TFCon USA in Google and you'll find it.
I think it is TFCon.com because the original TFCon is TFCon.ca.
TFCon tweets on Twitter, I believe.
So October 26th through 28th in Chicago. I guess it's still the Regency O'Hare. The Crown Plaza Chicago O'Hare Hotel and Convention Conference Center.
It's the same hotel.
Okay.
From the past couple of times.
Okay. Yeah. I love that hotel. Just this year, I don't think I'm going to make the drive unless I decide last minute, like I normally do, to go. So we'll see.
But you're still thinking about JoeCon, right?
Yeah, I'm going to JoeCon.
Okay.
I'm virtually certain.
And of course, there will not be a Supernatural convention this time. So that's kind of.
There's not.
That we know. Can we guarantee that?
That was a lot of fun.
I can't imagine the same two cons being booked for the same two weekend in a short period of time.
Well,
I missed
hope.
The last TFCon that was in Chicago, and that still bugs me. So I definitely have to go to this one.
There have been so many cons as of the last couple of years that they all run together. Our buddy Alex messaged me on Facebook and said, "Hey, Brian, there's a convention in somewhere in Tennessee that he wanted me to go to." And I'm like, "I love you, Alex, but I can't go to another convention. I really can't. Gosh, but I do want to go to JoeCon and Joanna." Man, that makes
Why would you want to go to JoeCon?
It's the last one, and I like G.I. Joe.
And we can hang out with XB.
I didn't even know.
Yeah.
What do they do like at JoeCon? Like, hey, we have no new information on anything.
There's
no new product, no new movies.
There's a three-legged walker race that's a lot of fun, where you just hobble.
You have to really concentrate with that, because if you land on the leg that's not there, you just like go toppling over.
Yeah.
See, the joke is that walkers have four legs normally, so a three-legged walker race would actually be a handicap.
Yeah. And, Brian, have they announced the exclusives for this JoeCon yet?
Curiosity? I don't remember what they are.
It's
going
to be the last Cobra Commander ever made figure.
It's possible.
That's what they should call it.
Possible. I'm probably not going to get the exclusive set because it's like $400 or so, and it's stuff that is usually more obscure than I even have any idea about.
They've already done a Tiger Force set, so
I would
the window.
I would buy that. I mean, if they were doing that again, I would totally do it. But
I hope there's some kind of 1/6 scale exclusive. It just seems like there ought to be for the last one.
I think they do that every year, don't they? Yeah, there is.
I'm looking at the website right now. It's a Slaughter's Marauders versus Python Patrol.
Oh, well, that's not too obscure then.
Ooh. Python Patrol.
Yeah.
I thought that was a great way to, you know, when we were talking about the possibility of G.I. Joe coming back as such 6-inch figures. I mean, I would totally be down for that.
Hey, you know you know how we might find out if G.I. Joe's coming back? Toy Fair is right around the corner. It's our fifth year in a row with Diecast there. with live coverage. Normally, before that, we would just have a live stream where we would report the news as it came in, but now we make the news as it comes in, thanks to Diecast and his amazing tweeting ability.
I always didn't make news.
G.I. Joe try a 5 or 6 inch line and it failed miserably.
Oh, they Sigma did six. Sigma 6, which was a little bit bigger scale than that, but yeah.
Yeah. So there's been 12, there's been 3 3/4. Now it's 4 inches, even though if they make any, they're sort of
3 3/4 is the best, by
yeah.
the way.
Yeah. Well, 4 and 3 3 are basically the same thing. They sort of mix together. Actually, I just got a 12 inch, Hall of Heroes or Hall of Fame Snake Eyes from like 1993. It's that, Ninja Snake Eyes with the red visor and
orange red.
I mean, I have it right here. It's pretty darn, it's somewhere in between.
I had the original toy. It was orange. So
I have like 3 of the original toy right now, like 8 feet from me.
Children, please.
Yes.
Transformer show.
But, that's
not
pretty
right
good.
Now. It's not.
Okay. But Toy Fair, join us on February 17th at tfradio.net/live. We'll have our basically all day coverage. As we put it last week, it's the frickin' Super Bowl of Transformers podcasts. It's pretty amazing. tfradio.net/live, and make sure you follow us on Twitter at tfradio, because we'll be tweeting all the stuff. It's going to be pretty amazing. Did anybody get anything this week? I didn't, except for that Snake Eyes, which...
I did. I got one thing.
What'd you get? Am I going to hate you?
No. I kind of hate myself.
Oh, that's even better.
Masterpiece yeah. Cheetor.
Supreme no. Cheetor.
No. No. I don't hate myself that much. No. Because it's a combiner tour, so I bought Starscream. Voyager class Starscream.
Primes. You're going to hate
but
yourself.
It's a good torso.
Yeah. Yeah, I just find it's weird that it's just a torso and it doesn't have any other modes. That's so weird.
That's hilarious.
Did you get the updated one, or did you get the...
I have no idea.
Okay. It doesn't matter. He doesn't care that much.
No. I bought it because it's a combiner torso. That's it. That's the entire reason. I was going to hold off on this and wait till the Takara one, but since, you know, the Takara one's just going to be like this, I figured, you know what? Why not?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, I
can think of reasons why not.
Yeah.
Now I'm picturing him and Broadside in some kind of triple changer support group. Like, hi, my name is Broadside.
Hi, Broadside.
My other modes suck. I am Starscream. My other modes suck, too. I am Starscream. That's just what I'm picturing in my head.
No, he doesn't have any other modes, Don. Get it right.
Oh.
He is just a combiner torso. That's it.
He's the saddest action master.
Yeah. I also, I did get a new chair because I broke the arm on mine, and I ordered a bunch of new shelves that I have to go pick up at the post office. Other than that, yeah, I got nothing.
So, about that broken arm, was that something that just happened from like regular wear and tear, or did
yeah, it was
your internet
an old
go
chair.
At the wrong moment once upon a time and, you know, you just kind of...
No, it's been on its way out for a good long while now. It was an old chair, and it was one of the pieces where it's a single arm piece that connects the base of the chair to the back of the chair, and just from leaning back on it for years.
But do you still have the Marvel blanket that you put on it? Oh, thank God.
So, Matt, how many DTOFs did you buy?
No DTOFs. I did use the Amazon link, Brian.
Oh, yeah, thank you.
Yeah, no problem, and I bought 9 new shelves to put up.
Wow.
So. Nice.
That's amazing.
They are combinable, so I can make, you know, about 6 shelves out of them.
The shelves you buy are combiners.
Yes, they are. I've already got a couple.
No, actually, he's reenacting the Battle Beast because, you know, in another room, he's got like water fountains, and then he's got
flamethrowers,
fire.
So
flamethrowers.
I'm going to take a sidestep again for just a second. In the chat, we're talking about how happy we are that the red trunks come back in Action Comics number 1000.
Yes.
I just want to chime in and say that.
That made
my week last week. Okay. Yeah. So, Chris, did you get anything?
Nothing Transformers related.
Don?
Yes, I got one Transformers related. Finally got tired of waiting for one to turn up at retail, so now that I bought one off eBay, I'm sure it'll turn up at retail or Ross.
Cogman?
No, I already had Cogman. went ahead and got a Crosshairs because I really
I saw Crosshairs at Toys R Us yesterday.
Yeah, I saw that. It's like, but I have still not seen one in person anywhere between here, my aunt's house, going up to Roanoke to visit my friend.
I haven't been looking.
I mean, probably could have got you one, but I'd have had to pay, you know, money in exchange for a movie toy, and that's not going to happen.
Yeah. So I mean, so basically, I got it for retail and shipping, and I just figured this. I kind of like what they were trying to do with the figure. It didn't work out that well on the Dark of the Moon version or the Age of Extinction, whichever the last version
was. He was in Age of Extinction. He wasn't in Dark of the Moon.
Yeah. So, you know, I figured why not? Because I really didn't want the Bumblebee because I've got Masterpiece Bumblebee, so I really didn't need that Bumblebee. So, you know, that's it. And fortunately, all my other stuff is Origin Post preparing shipment, so I'm still waiting for everything else.
Everything else. I have nothing on the way. I have some stuff in my pile of loot. But until that, dear God, the Grand Max, I don't think I have anything on the horizon.
I'm so glad I did not feel compelled to get Grand Max.
I am too.
I am so gonna have to find room for it.
Quick side tangent. Did y'all see the new action Robo Psycheel, the deluxe version?
So yeah, I've seen people like Walkie and Vangelis on Twitter share that, and I have no idea how they got it because it just went up for pre-order, right, from Action Toys.
Yeah, yeah. It's $120 from what I've seen at I think BBTS.
It's 7 inches tall.
Yeah, I mean, it looks great. It's just, and I know I did this on a tweet. I've got Salmore, and I know
it looks better than Salmore.
It does, but I'm just saying, do I really need another yes. big Psykill for $120?
Considering that I like Salmore, but Psykill actually looked that machine robo bike robo actually looks looks like him.
It's Sun Surge versus Sunstreaker all over again. Do I want to pay the extra money to upgrade?
Yeah,
I didn't for Sunstreaker. Don't
get me wrong. Salmore is nice, but Salmore is still not Psykill, and it's not like he's not even that close. That Action Toys toy looks phenomenal. So yeah, I need that. God, I need that. I need to take.
I decided Don needs it too because it's money that he has to spend, but not me.
Yeah. I need to take a week off of work just so I can figure out what I need to keep and what I need to get rid of because I don't have room for more stuff.
Well, here's the thing, though. I'm afraid they're going to go back and start doing DX versions of the, you know, like the main characters. And I really don't want to double dip on some of these characters.
I can live without most of them.
You totally do, Don.
You're not helping.
Honestly,
I'm helping as much as I intend to.
Honestly, if I had a Psykill and a Leader 1 that was in the same scale, I would be fine.
Yeah,
Diecast is waiting patiently with his 15th Springer.
It doesn't matter. Diecast can go and
this is the good Springer, though. This is
Fans Toys. I take
Fans
it.
Fans Toys.
That means it's got entirely too much diecast in it, and Brian hates it.
Yeah, it's
too heavy. It looks nice. It looks really nice.
Pretty.
That looks great.
He's number one. And my friend stopped by. He picked up his. I did some tau bowing for him, and he picked up his Megatron or KO Megatron, and he posed this for me as number one.
You have number one
Springer.
You have a local Transformers fan that buys stuff from you or with you. That's good.
This is the first time I ordered anything from Taobao for him. Just because he told me he was looking to buy something and he told me the prices and I was like, no, don't do that.
Hey, you should quit your job and do a Taobao middleman service. I would send you business.
Yeah. But yeah, he is so nice. I didn't get a chance to actually transform him or review him yet. But I messed around with him in robot mode and I like him. I like him a lot.
Actually, speaking of Taobao, we have a listener who's messaged us on Facebook, and I think he's actually messaging Diecast on Facebook trying to learn how to access Taobao.
Google Chrome is the best way to start. Google Chrome and the stuff that you can't, that Google Chrome won't translate, hopefully you can copy and paste it into Google Translate.
So if I were you, dude, I would do a video and put it up on RFC Reviews. Bet you'll get a million hits.
Maybe. That's not a bad idea.
Yeah, you should totally do that.
Yeah, and if necessary, you can also use Babfish as a...
Hey, and actually, speaking of Facebook, for people who contact us through Facebook as a message, I am really bad about getting to that. So if I don't respond to you for weeks, don't fret. But
also maybe try contacting us through a different method because Brian is terrible at this.
Yeah, contact at tfradio.net or go to tfradio.net and click on contact us.
Or do the voicemail lines and a text message, 931-99-GOBOT.
Email is probably the best way. If you actually want to get a response.
Yeah, but the text message is forward to the email, so that's like...
This is true. This is true. But, and I will say this, somebody sent us a message saying that they love the show and they wanted to shout out, and I completely lost the message. It just disappeared in Facebook, so hey, listener, you get a shout out. glad you love the show. That's awesome.
I did get one other thing this week.
What'd you get?
I got the Zeta or Zeta Toys.
And you loved it.
I'm not sure if it goes by Zeta or Zeta Toys.
You loved this thing. You said it was the best thing you ever owned.
Yeah. Mine had a lot of issues, and I really recommend. I don't want to go through all the issues because I put a review up of it. So if you're curious how bad it was, just go and watch my review on our reviews on YouTube.
But what was it? What was it?
The Zeta Toys Fly Fire, which is their
Firefly, the reshelled
Firefly.
The Masterpiece level aerial bots.
Masterpiece aerial bot, yes.
Okay. How so? Being Masterpiece, it had to be very nice, right?
Well, I mean, it's Masterpiece sized, and it's
size of a Masterpiece toy. Let's move along.
Yeah.
Oh, I got one question for Diecast. You were showing in pre-show the Megatron you got. There are several KO Megatrons of the MP mold. Which one did you get?
I got the IT Infinite Transformation. I think it is.
Okay, because there's like three or four KOs of that Megatron. Plus, you got the Wajang Megatron coming out as well. So it's a little confusing out there if you're looking for the KO version.
Infinite
Wajang one's a little bit bigger.
Yeah, it's in scale with their MPP-10s, which is that clear Optimus that I've shown off before.
I would rather have Infinite Diversity than Infinite Transformation.
Infinite Diversity in Infinite Transformation.
Yes.
Okay, thank you, Reboot Spock.
So, okay. Anything else I cast? That was it?
That was it.
Rob, did you get anything?
Nothing Transformers related.
Hey, Chris, you did get something. You got it.
Yeah, I talked about it in pre-show.
But you didn't talk about it on the show.
Yeah, because I decided to talk about it in pre-show instead.
He got the best thing ever. He got Beast Machines on DVD.
I mean,
DVD.
It's no Perfect Strangers.
It's up there, though.
It's Transformers related, so.
It's a garbage fire, though.
And it's what Don's going to get for his birthday, too.
Yes.
No, it's not.
Diecast,
no.
Remember, Don's birthday is in June.
No.
Put it on the Massey Attack.
Doing it right now.
Yeah, so the funny thing is,
my foot down, literally.
The funny thing is, when I opened the envelope and saw that it was Beast Machines, I was just like, okay, who got this for me? So I thought it was Diecast. It's like, damn, he didn't say it was from Don. That would have been the best joke. Just credited Don with giving me Beast Machines.
Guys, I'm serious. I do not. If anyone sends me a Beast Machines DVD set, I will run over it. I will burn it. I will give it to Massey. I will do
you
something.
You can't burn it. You gave me a hard time for burning Kronos. You can't burn it.
Because you burned a good toy. This is Beast Machines. It's not a good series.
And to go back on the figure I got, the combined mode of those Zeta Toys aerial bots is called Kronos. So in the review, I said, third-party companies, take note of this. Stop using this name. It's like calling the toy the Hindenburg.
So that's awesome.
It's not something you want
to
do.
So to the tfradio.net/Massey Attack List, I put Transformers Beast Machines, the complete series. Quantity needed, 99.
No. No. Okay, everybody watching.
People, please don't waste your money on that. I mean, just... Yes.
I'm being honest. Do not waste your money.
It would be. Yes, as funny as it would be, there are people who could use that money. There are things Don could use more than that. It's a great joke, but at most, buy him one.
Hey, if you want to, each, just one buy each. Me more copies of Tamers, and I'll give copies of Tamers out to everybody so they can have something
good to watch. What about the moon pies, Don?
Frontier.
Yeah, do you get any moon pies?
I'm type two. I don't need. I have enough trouble with as it is. I don't need a box.
Why is it on your list? You told me to add it.
No, I didn't. I just pointed it out. You added it yourself.
Okay, I just
everything on that list. Since you're the one that created the list,
put the Cadbury eggs on Don's list.
No. Yeah. There's plenty of cat food on it. We saw a Massey Attack in pre-show again, tfradio.net/live. We are off the rails. Let's go ahead and jump to this week in history. The Beast Wars episode Dark Voyage premieres in the United States. Was this season one? I don't even remember this episode.
Is this the one where they lose their eyesight?
Yeah.
Oh, God, that episode. Season one is hard to watch.
Well, it was a different change of pace. It's just... it's odd, but it's not unwatchable.
I love Beast Machines. I consider Beast Machines to be the high point of Transformers fiction, but not season one.
Beast Machines?
Pardon, Beast Wars. Actually, Beast Machines season two, I think, is pretty darn good.
It's really good.
I think, as far as Transformers series go, it's probably the third best. You have Beast Wars animated, then Beast Machines season two. I'm sticking to it.
Anyway, I thought Dark Voyage wasn't a bad episode.
I haven't watched it in years, but I just remember finding it boring.
Well, I remember finding you boring.
Well, there you go. In 2010, The Last Stand of the Wreckers number one is released by IDW.
So would that be the first stand of The Last Stand?
I guess so.
I have yet to read that. I need to.
I still haven't read all of it.
It's good.
You would love it, Don. It's good. I don't think it's definitely not the high point of IDW stuff. It was just a revelation when it came out, but I think that...
I think it is the high point.
You do?
IDW stuff.
Yeah. Really?
I don't think so anymore. It definitely was at the time.
Oh, yes.
And it kind of represents the point at which IDW started to get really good.
Oh, absolutely.
Transformers.
It was the gateway into what we consider modern IDW.
Yeah. It's really, really good. If you haven't read it, you totally should.
But, like, the whole first year of Robots in Disguise is better than Last Stand of the Wreckers, just for a start.
So, interesting. So, if
you're... Waller 1.
Yeah,
If you remember the trade that came out, the TFormers.com quote from Ender, he described it as the Watchmen of the Transformers.
I guess that goes well with Combiner Wars being the Game of Thrones of Transformers.
Yeah.
Last Stand of the Wreckers is not something I would... You compare to Watchmen. They're two completely different animals.
It kind of marks a point at which, you know, writers in both genres, you know, run the risk of starting taking things too seriously, I'd say, but...
Hey, maybe. But it's really good, and I can't believe it's been 8 years.
Yeah, really.
Yeah. Gosh. I guess when this came out...
Don, you've had plenty of opportunities to read Last Stand of the Wreckers. I have a traveling copy that I bring with me to every convention.
I'd like to go back
and listen to hear what we said. It would have been Amy, because at that point I think Amy was the only one who was into the comics, because you guys didn't work for T-Formers yet and you weren't doing all the reviews.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember what Amy thought. I know she had to love it, but I don't.
I remember her loving it, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so 2010, The Last Stand of the Wreckers. Now, the follow-up to that, how did that rank?
Sins of the Wreckers?
I haven't read that yet.
I'm trying to...
The art in that was very interesting.
Yes, the art is spectacular. The story suffers from a major problem where basically it asks a very serious topical question and... Nobody who believes in one specific side of that question in the entire book is arguing in good faith at any point in time, which is kind of a problem. I'm trying not to get into specifics here, and this is a no politics show, and I'm trying not to get into that, but my reviews of it are up on T-Formers, and I think I made the point there as well as I ever can. But yeah, good art, interesting character things going on. In terms of the real world point it was trying to make, not so good.
But the Dick Roach art with Josh Burcham coloring, fantastic.
Oh yeah.
So let's jump to the news, the big item this week. So we talked about extensively the bankruptcy filing that Toys R Us filed last year. And as a follow-up to that, Toys R Us is closing 180 of its stores domestically here in the U.S.
Now, what we need to point out here is that 180 stores that the company owns are being closed. They're not all Toys R Us locations. Many of them are also Babies R Us locations.
Or specifically Babies R Us locations.
Yeah, no, I mean, but there's Babies R Us and I think some Kids R Us locations too. I think a few of those still existed on their own, but like that's part of what's like about half are Toys R Us.
Now, I mean, there are nerd reasons for caring, but that doesn't matter to me. It's the fact that they are divesting themselves of 20% of their retail locations.
Mm-hmm.
That is substantial. They're trying to work towards financial solvency and
minus the $16 million bucks in bonuses here and there.
So I'm in North Carolina. Only three of the stores are in North Carolina, and none of them are near me. Two are in Durham, one's in Asheville. Do you guys have any? Are you losing your Toys R Us?
The only thing near me closing is the Babies R Us.
I never had a Toys R Us anywhere near me anyway.
Now, on the other hand, all the Toys R Us locations that I went to in the Chicago suburbs when I was young are closing.
Aww.
Every single one of them.
I'm losing one that's close to me. And the one that's close to me, I'm kind of surprised because it's the newest Toys R Us in the area. It's only about 4 or 5 years old, maybe, if I'm remembering correctly. And it's one of those gigantic ones with a Babies R Us attached to it, like the whole store. It's there's no wall in between them. It's all opened, and it's a really, really nice Toys R Us, and they get a lot of stock.
That big, it's probably a property rent issue.
So that's kind of what seems to be an issue here. Like, they're prioritizing the locations that cost a lot in the lease costs.
Yep.
Those are the first ones to be shut down.
Retailers always do that.
Those costs.
That's exactly what Kmart's been doing over the years. The only reason my local Kmart or my nearest Kmart is still open is because they own the lot that they're on.
Yeah.
That explains a lot, because all my Kmarts have survived these purges. All my Toys R Us's are surviving these purges, and they are all stores that have been here forever.
Yeah.
Yeah, and like it makes sense why those Chicago suburbs locations I mentioned are going out too, because there is no cheap property up there. I mean, they've got to be paying a fortune in whatever rent they have to pay on those locations.
Potentially, even if they own the lot, there's opportunity to sell that, and it might be worth more to them to sell the property than it would be to get the income from that location, potentially. Not sure.
Yeah.
The store would have to be losing money for that to be the case, but especially in an area like that, I could totally see it.
And also, I'm pretty close to New Jersey, and New Jersey is losing a lot of stores.
California is and Arizona are losing a lot of stores.
But if you think of the size of New Jersey compared to the amount of stores they're losing, it's pretty substantial.
Oh, man, Mariasha in the chat works at one of these Toys R Us's.
Yeah, I saw that on Twitter.
Sorry.
That sucks.
I hate to hear that.
No, I hope you find something quick and something good.
And I hope they help you with job placement, severance package or something. I really hope that, I know the store's in Durham, Brian, and they were down where the mall used to be there on 15501. And I used to go there all the time when I was working in Durham before I moved up here to Virginia. And that Toys R Us was pretty interesting in the fact that it was not a range like any of the other ones I'd ever seen. But you could find, again, this may be a sign of why it's closing, but you could find some older stock there. I mean, they got in new stuff, but for some reason they also seem to maintain a lot of the older stuff too.
I don't know Durham as well as I know Raleigh. And when I think of Raleigh, I just think of that KB that was in the mall.
That's the one I worked at.
I loved going there. I went there a couple times with M. Cypher. That one's awesome.
M. Cypher lived about 6 miles from me.
Yeah.
And we would do toy crawls.
He's now in San Diego. Did you know that?
Yeah, I know. That's weird. He's not local anymore. Well, not local to me.
Well, it's weird, too, because he doesn't seem like a San Diego person.
He doesn't seem like a North Carolina person either.
But the
no,
the
good he thing, doesn't. But he definitely doesn't seem like a San Diego person.
But the cool thing is that, well, the good thing is that I'm not losing my only Toys R Us here, my little Toys R Us, because I was worried because despite they it's do a lot of volume,
it's tiny.
Yeah, it's tiny, but also there's nothing for at least an hour and a half to either Greensboro or Lynchburg or Roanoke. There's nothing an hour and a half in any direction to get to the next Toys R Us.
It's all about you, Don.
Takes me 2 hours in any direction to get to a Toys R Us, and I was amazed to see that none of those Toys R Us's appear to be on this list.
The one closest to me is the one that was nearby the TFCon Charlotte Hotel. That's about 25 minutes from my house, but I never go. I never go to Toys R Us.
I think you're right. I think good it job, had Brian. To do, the first thing they looked at is
where Brian Kilby goes, and then we're going to make sure not
to property value and how much the land or like how much the land is worth if they own it or how much is the rent if they don't.
Yeah, it's all about cost.
And I wasn't looking at it just from my standpoint, but the fact that how much stuff have I found for everybody at my little Toys R Us? Soundwaves, Optimuses, and stuff. So that way I can still keep trying to help out people out find all these exclusives and stuff.
So they're working on liquidating the locations that are going to close down. But before you get excited about that, Will West kind of pointed out on Twitter earlier that there's not really probably going to be any worthwhile bargains to have because a lot of their standard practice is they pick through the inventory, send all the good stuff to either other locations or back to the distributors, and then they mark up everything that's left.
No.
So it'll be just like going to a Toys R Us in a mall when they open up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty much.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I wonder if that's something we'll see this year because I didn't see it last year, but I also didn't do a lot of mall crawling during the holidays. So, but that hope that's something maybe that'll save them some money and not the $16 billion bonuses either.
So the
they'll put the mall locations back in because they make money off of those. You know, they're only there for like 2 months and everybody's going to those malls for their holiday shopping. It's the best place for them to have those.
That's true.
Okay, so let's go ahead and jump to the next item. Takara Tomy, Power of the Primes, Waves 2 and 3 stock photos reveals disappointment.
Yep. Only disappointment.
Mm-hmm. So guess what? I guess our theory was correct.
Mm-hmm.
It matches the U.S. release, which is good for my pocketbook.
Yep.
Yeah, but I think we brought this up in passing before. Characters like Darkwind and Dreadwing, and I'm using the old names. I know.
That's fine.
That
people know
that.
What you mean.
Yeah, those characters were never released in Japan, as far as our versions were never really released over there, from what I understand. So this is good for those collectors to get those color schemes. But for those of us wanting Buster and Hydra from Master Force, I'm worried that if Takara winds up doing them, they're going to be more expensive than they would have been in the past as a general release. Because
it would probably be some kind of retailer exclusive or a Takara Tomy Mall release.
Exactly.
So holding out hope for a box set or two.
Yeah, but that's my big fears. I can understand why a lot of people are disappointed. Like, y'all were getting the Target Masters that you wanted to go with your Titans Return figures, which I completely get. The thing of it is, if there is a character that's like, because Buster and Hydra mean a lot more to the Japanese people than they would, except for U.S. collectors.
Yeah.
So when we finally do get them, how much more are they going to be above and beyond what we would have paid?
We probably won't.
Legend as if even if exactly even if we do get them, how much more are
we
going to pay?
I don't think we can draw conclusions one way or the, maybe I'm wrong that we can draw conclusions one way or the other is to if Takara Tomy will have exclusive toys or exclusive decos. I mean, they have in the past.
Yeah, they will.
But they have in the past. But this is also the first time that I can remember where the releases there are just straight up the releases here.
No, the movie line.
Yeah.
I don't. Yeah.
As we
you know, we've speculated before that Legends may end up continuing in some format as basically the, you know, Generations equivalent of Movie the Best, that we may see improved versions of some of these toys in a Legends line or Legends-like line in the future. It's difficult to say right now. And also, I've said before, and I just want to reiterate that it is entirely possible with this particular design team at Hasbro, who spent the last year and a half recreating as much of the Headmasters in specific as they did, that we could still get Buster and Hydra as exclusives here.
So possibly. The thing is, I discount the movie stuff so much because at this point in 2018, like, it seems like it's just an obligation that they do, and they're just trying to get through the movie stuff. Where before they experimented, they did cool things, they released lots of toys. Now it just seems like, there's a movie coming out, and I guess we have to make toys. So, which, I mean, it's how it feels. But yeah, I mean, I get your point. I mean, for God's sakes, we got Elio Kaiser here. So
Overlord.
Overlord. Overlord came out here and in Japan. So, you know, there's hope.
I just want to say this kind of frees up some of my money for third party.
We got the limited edition Takara Tomy Headmasters, a couple of those in the Titan Master.
Yeah.
You know, we got Leonian Shuffler.
That's so awesome.
Yeah. There is still...
We got a Battle Beast.
We got a Battle Beast. There is still a very distinct non-zero chance we're going to see Buster and Hydra by Hasbro.
Yeah.
But even, I mean, either way, like, I think Takara Tomy Ball exclusives are still going to be the way for Takara to do the stuff they're interested in doing for their own market.
Oh, yeah.
Even though at the general retail level, there it's a copy and paste job. I don't think we're not going to see some of this stuff just because of this new mainline direction.
Yeah.
And the Last Night toy line and Movie the Best being its own thing besides that, which has that Takara touch, is really the best evidence or at least precedent for something like that happening.
Hey, so for the next item, Diecast, you want to tell us about it?
Yeah, I second that.
So the next item is Masterpiece MP34S Shadow Panther, high-res images, mutant head communicator, and more. On our internal mailing list, Diecast has been asking repeatedly what this is, and everyone refuses to answer him.
Oh, no, I was answering him. I was answering him. It wasn't the answers he wanted, but I was answering him.
Yeah, I answered as honestly as I could. A waste of a Masterpiece release.
I didn't say you were wrong, either.
Yeah, let's be fair. I'm the one who told him who Shadow Panther was.
Yeah, Don, you ruined everything.
You ruined the
exactly.
fun.
Exactly.
Yeah, but I forgot as soon as I read it. I was like,
that sounds about right. Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be great, too, if Diecast just didn't read Don's reply because it was Don.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. Yeah, he's been waiting for someone to explain Shadow Panther to him, but Don did it, so he wasn't listening. That's just perfect.
Don, I appreciate it. I was actually surprised that you went out of your way to...
See,
that's true. He was mentioning that before the show.
Yeah, I just figured if you knew who it was, you might want to look him up on the wiki or something to know whether... Maybe the character interested. Well,
character. Shadow Panther, for those who don't know, was a repaint of Cheetor in Japan. I guess part of Beast Wars 2nd?
No, it was part of the Beast Wars line. It was Japan's first originally added character, when they started importing Beast Wars.
Character. So.
You have to keep in mind the context of the time we're talking about here, where even on our side of the ocean, we had a lot of characters that had no media support, just the tech spec on the back of the box.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's exactly equivalent to that.
Yeah, that's true. Like Grimlock.
Yeah. And really, what are you going without changing the basic skeleton into Tigatron? Who else are you going to repaint Cheetor into?
And you can't just make that into Tigatron. Tigatron is taller than Optimus Primal. Right. I mean, it would have to be a completely new toy. So, they had to do something like that.
But
or
I'm
the Fox Kids colors.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Now that would have been interesting. No, but I mean, as far as Tigatron will probably have the same basic transformation skeleton, just in a new body.
Yeah, I'm sure it would have the same engineering.
Yeah, it's just you can't. But I mean, there's not. I mean, but now I'll be honest. if they did a Fox Kids color of this, I would probably get that just for the sheer. Now here's hoping we get Tarantulas, and we get the Tarantulas in the Fox Kids colors.
Well, that would have to be Transmetal though.
Wasn't there an unproduced Halloween Horror Con from the Cheetor mold too?
Quite possibly, yes.
You know, they could do well. CAT scan would be the wrong mold for that though, because that was the nice last Cheetor.
Yeah, no. See, that's the whole problem we're coming back to here, where you kind of have to use Cheetor for Shadow Panther because there's not anything else, especially something that would resonate with the Japanese market. And it's technically accurate to the original execution of this because that was a Cheetor recolor, not the Tigatron recolor.
Right.
Even though Tigatron
had a panther-like head instead of a cheetah head.
But that wouldn't be accurate. Yeah. Well, they could have tooled up a new head that looked like the original toy's head, which also didn't look like a cheetah or a panther.
Yeah.
You know.
But if they were going to do that, they would have done that on the toy-style cheetah or color variant they did. Didn't they do the one? Yeah.
No. Well, they've only done Toy Colors Optimus Primal because Toy Colors Optimus Primal is what was in the Beast Wars second movie.
Ah, right, yep. Right.
Basically, the first Shadow Panther, the face... If anyone has seen Zootopia, the face is basically Clawhauser from Zootopia. That's the big kind of chubby face they just sort of stuck on the front of that Cheetor head.
I'm just glad they didn't make this its own number because then I would have to buy it. Now I can skip it.
Shadow Panther includes the toy accurate mutant head and also the communicator accessory, which was something Cheetor had in the show for one episode. But we saw that months ago with a test shot as an unused piece. So this is where that's ending up. So if you want a completely show complete Cheetor, you have to buy Shadow Panther.
One question. When it says the coat is in a Tampo print, is that same water-based thing they use for Optimus?
It probably will be.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because, Cheetor's spots were painted on or printed on, however they ended up doing that. So the fur texture for Shadow Panther will probably be the same thing.
I didn't get the anime Optimus Primal.
And I had the mutant head.
Yeah, and I don't know, I'm more tempted by this just by how bad it is.
I think it looks good. It's just for the money that we're spending on masterpieces now, I just don't want to put that money into that when I would much rather have the Tigatron.
I want them to do a Tripredicus agent. So I'm fighting myself not to make a Ravage Three Bodies Evolution joke, and I'm not going to. Shout out
how
to
much is this
three
again?
People who
I
know what I'm talking
how
about.
Much I...
Presumably the same price as Cheetor.
I forget how much he was, to be honest.
Me too.
Yeah,
too. I was trying to avoid the issue.
About 79 was the going price.
Was it? Ah, man.
I got mine for 79 with free shipping. So yeah.
I'm just mad this is taking up factory time and all that other stuff.
They got to recoup their money.
That could have been put towards another masterpiece.
Well, no, Diecast, this is what I've been saying for so many years. This is a prime example of them using a fill-in mold
example, Don.
Yeah, I was. Thank you.
Oh, see, I was about to go with. Well, since it's Beast Wars, wouldn't it be a primal example?
Yes.
But anyway, jokes from the peanut gallery aside, I just think that this is an example of they're doing this to recoup the money and to make money towards the next new mold.
Yeah.
That'll have which will hopefully be Tigatron.
Here's the thing you really have to be afraid of. What are they going to do with Dinobot?
Yeah.
Grimlock.
Yeah. Grimlock. Now, that would be a repaint. If I'm gonna drop that kind of money, a Grimlock might be kind of a cool way to get that mold.
And for those who don't know, the Dinobot toy in Beast Wars was repainted in the U.S. in gray and called Grimlock.
It's never white.
It was Dalmatian colored.
Yeah, white with black spots, and of course gold, which is the main prize.
I've never owned it. I've only seen photos. I've never actually
seen it in person.
Yeah. So it was repainted in the U.S. as Grimlock. So they're not doing G1 Grimlock. Hopefully not.
I mean, the thing is too, like if we're talking about Japan relevant stuff. Like all of Japan's reuses of that mold were retools based on appearances in like Beast Wars 2nd, Beast Wars Neo, where the robot design model was completely different. So they couldn't just like do a minor retool of Dinobot to be one of those characters instead, because it'd be completely inaccurate then.
So while I'm thinking of it, I just did a quick search on eBay to see how much Metal's Ravage is going for. Oh God, I hate myself for
selling
that.
It's a lot, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's still more than it's worth.
Yeah. Okay.
I just want to start a rumor that this took up their production time for Masterpiece Jazz or something like that and get people really angry.
Well, you know, Brian, it could be, you know, you could always probably get Tigertron cheaper than the X9.
They've got
Ravage.
I got it.
Falcon Tigertron?
Yeah.
Do I have that? That was the BotCon I went to. That was BotCon 01.
Yeah, in Durham with RC. I'm saying if you want that mold, the BotCon may be a little bit cheaper than the Ravage.
And that Tigatron's prettier than Ravage.
You think so? I don't think it is. So we have photos of Rodimus Unicronus in hand. Where was this picked up?
So the interesting thing about this is that this was purchased in Kansas.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That's odd. That's an odd place for it to show up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to say that I've heard since that the person posting it is in Kansas, but I'm not sure that they've ever shown a receipt or anything like that, that showing it was purchased there.
Stuff has been found in the Midwest and on the East Coast first before. Yeah, it's not in Herod.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, okay, so calling back to Beast Machines again, I think final deluxe wave of Beast Machines showed up at my local Walmart before it showed up anywhere else in the country. I was the first person in the online fandom to have those toys.
Triplet found Beast Machine Snarl 6 months. 6 months. 6 months before anybody else reported it. Yes. Before it was released. I don't know how it happened.
You know, this stuff happens sometimes where it just shows up in a really weird place.
He was also the first person again to actually see footage of Beast Machines in the fandom, which I'll point out again. I think I might have been second because I think he called me when it was on. It's like, move your satellite dish to this satellite and turn it to this channel. God, we get satellite dishes that turned. It was crazy. It was crazy back then. So
what is it, a C-band?
It was a C-band.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I miss C-band satellites. That was the bomb.
I do, too, because like, it was part of this whole like weird 90s internet culture.
Exactly. Yes, it was. So Kansas, interesting.
Mm-hmm. And also, as a couple of people noted, and XV wrote an article about, this no longer has a shattered glass Autobot symbol on it. It has a Decepticon symbol.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
The stock photos had the purple Autobot symbol.
It does. Wow. Interesting.
But from the new pictures of the packaging we have, the packaging shows a Decepticon symbol on the chest. So there's no telling when that change was actually put into practice. It may well just be that the initial stock photos were completely an error that it had that Autobot symbol.
Is that a Tampo or a sticker?
We think it's a Tampo.
It's a Tampo and Rodimus?
It's a Tampo on Rodimus. When they were talking about this at HasCon, I think, I know somebody reported, they said they were trying their best to keep that as a tampograph on the toy instead of making it a sticker.
Yeah, I believe they said the chest was a Tampo.
Interesting. Okay, cool. So we have photos of MPM6 movie masterpiece Ironhide. Photos of the packaging,
The packaging, yeah.
Hey, that sure is a masterpiece Ironhide.
I guess that means he's close, since we're already getting packaging for it.
I think again, this is like printer proof, so it's not literally a photo of completed packaging. It's just the layout files.
Yeah, I mean, it's clearly not a photo. It's again, it's too high res and pretty. So.
It's too square. If you've ever tried to take a photo of a square object, you will find very quickly that you cannot take a photo of a square object because the lens distortion will always have it either bowed out a little bit or pinned in a little bit. Doesn't matter how good of a lens you have. Let me take a photo.
We have to do an experiment.
Oh, nice. So this is coming out. I have yet to buy any of the MPM toys, the movie masterpiece stuff.
I might buy
Movie Masterpiece Cogman if they ever get around to that. If it's still a headmaster, though. If it's not a headmaster.
I've always liked the truck mode for Ironhide, and his robot mode is one of the lesser hideous ones. But I'm just not feeling it. Not feeling it.
So Eric says Ironhide is for July.
Okay.
Oh, cool.
It's like how Virginia is for lovers.
I mean, I like it because it has the guns, but my leader, Ironhide, there was an upgrade kit. I think Dr. Wu did it, or someone did it, and they added on those movie-accurate guns and stuff. So mine's pretty close to being awesome already.
Yeah, I mean, if that's the toy you're happy with, stick with it, you know?
Yeah.
So I only saw this recently, so I don't know if we missed this before. New Rescue Bots toys leaked, including a Rescue Dinobot, Optimus Primal, and Dinobot Minicons.
There's been an Optimus Dinobot before, yeah. I'm pretty sure. This looks like it's supposed to be the same thing as that big Bumblebee toy that came out in the last few months that had the two Minicons that were its weapons. This is like another entry at that price point, so I think this is a new product.
I love this. I genuinely love this.
I understand it is a new mold compared to previous Dinobot Optimus, or that's what I've been told anyway. So
unfortunately, we're not ourselves conversant enough with these toys to necessarily know that difference.
Yeah, I don't remember seeing it on the shelf. Of course, I don't normally go to that aisle.
Well, and it's like Rescue Bot stuff is like the least promoted official product. So a lot of stuff we only find out about because someone has found it on a shelf for the first time.
Blind bag stuff is more promoted.
Yeah.
It's sad. Okay. But it is what it is. So that's neat looking. If I see that, if I happen to go on like the play school aisle, I'll get that.
I don't know how it is where you are, but the way Walmart is laid out here, the Rescue Bot stuff is on the opposite side of the action figure aisle. So you may not even have to go to a separate aisle to look for that.
Not here.
Okay.
Well, when you say opposite side, you mean if you're standing in the aisle, you look right, it's one side, you look left, it's the other. Oh, so it's actually at my Walmart, or at least the old Walmart, you look right, you see Transformers, and then it would be on the other aisle that's adjacent to it.
On the other side of the wall.
On the basically. Other side of the wall, yeah.
Yep, yeah.
That's how mine is set up, too, I think.
So, Mech Planet Hot Soldiers, prototype photos of Hearts of Steel Bumblebee. So, Don, this is for you.
Yeah, it is, because I was hoping somebody would go back to the Hearts of Steel line, because
it's the cutest train ever.
Well, it's just the fact that there's so many interesting to what they did to put them in a steam powered society and still be, you know, the same looking, the same base characters, and just in these steam powered bodies. It just, I really want to see more Hearts of Steel stuff. And, you know, because they were doing the Insecticon train was planned at one point, as well as I think they were going to be doing a Ravage. I can't remember what Ravage was. I think Ravage was a minecart. I'm not sure. I can't remember. I may be way off the base there, but yeah, I will be getting this one because I would need more Hearts of Steel.
It's adorbs.
I don't remember Hearts of Steel at all. Was Hearts of Steel like a Dreamwave comic or something? How long did it go for?
It
was a very early IDW comic.
It was a four-issue miniseries in which they basically woke up. They were on Earth in the age of dinosaurs, and they had dinosaur alt modes. And then they went into hibernation in sleep mode to conserve energy. And then they were awoken in the Civil War era. Either before or after, I can't remember which. Yeah, and then that's
how Barbara made the connection. Okay.
So what was it from the G.I. Joe versus Transformers stuff that we got that from Devil's Due? What was
Rolling Thunder Optimus, maybe?
Yes, okay. That makes okay.
That nobody wanted because they were forced to be sold as a two pack in Optimus and G.I. Joe colors.
Yeah.
And they were
entirely too much money, and yes, they were garbage.
Yeah. But we are getting them done again by another company in both colors, but they are being sold separately.
That's good.
So it looks interesting.
More, I believe Bumblebee, the reason he has a hammer is I believe he actually met John Henry Irons. Now he That's actually awesome. Met John Henry Irons in the comic for some reason.
Oh, you mean John Henry, because John Henry Irons is Steel in DC.
John Henry.
I mean, that would also be a reason for this Bumblebee to have a hammer.
Yes.
But yeah, I will be getting this.
So, Perfect Effect PC-23 kit for dinosaurs upgrade Grimlock Volcanicus gives Dinobots more weapons, and Dinobots need more weapons. Not really.
I hate this so much.
It makes Grimlock look better, though.
I think that's why he hates it.
It's not that. It does make Grimlock look better in his Volcanicus torso mode. And look at what it does to Grimlock and Slug to give them all this crap to carry around mode.
Oh, dear God.
With Slug, that's optional. It's just, you know, you can give him a Zoid's backpack.
Yeah,
it is a Zoid's backpack.
If you think of it as a Zoid's backpack, it's a little bit better, but just...
The only permanent modification, and I use that term loosely, you replace Grimlock's forearms and thighs with new pieces, so it gets a little bit taller and bulkier, but it's not like a huge impact on the alt mode.
I'd like to see is there photos of it not in pink?
No.
Okay, because right now this photo, I get an idea of the shape of it. But like how it will complement the existing toy, it doesn't convey it to me.
Yeah, you can kind of make them out on the dino feet on the, you know, laden down with crap photo, but it's not very big. So
it's the only thing is, though, I've heard a lot of people talking how they're not even planning on doing Volcanicus. They're going to leave the Dinobots in just their individual modes. So.
Yeah, so I actually had the opportunity to handle Grimlock over the weekend, and yeah, I have no interest in buying that toy now at all. Absolutely nothing for me.
I kind of want it, but I don't want all this stuff to go with it. It'll have to live or die by whatever it actually is.
Go ahead.
It doesn't matter.
Okay. So the Hasbro Cinematic Universe looks like it will be scaling back somewhat. So basically, ROM and Mask are very likely not to happen. So
yeah, we lost ROM and Mask.
Couldn't they just consolidate them down into one movie, ROM versus Mask, or Mask versus ROM?
It'd be like Freddy versus Jason.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it happens. Nobody would watch
Mask
it.
So bad, and I was hoping they were going to roll it in with G.I. Joe, is what I was hoping.
That would have been a smart way to go, especially since IDW basically has done that in the comics.
Yeah, it's just, you know, the Mask one seems like they could pull that off a bit easier as far as not having to create a lot of backstory. You just basically say, you have these two groups, they're fighting. ROM, because ROM's backstory is all Marvel-based. All that stuff from him it was all based on Marvel. And of course, IDW has the rights as well. It's just, I think you've got a lot more backstory I think you'd have to create for ROM for the average person going into it than you would Mask. But that's the way that I'm seeing it. But we're not getting either one of them, so that's kind of depressing.
I would see ROM being done kind of like they do the Transformers movies, where ROM is less of a character and more just like a story item, a set piece.
Bag of hangers.
A medium through which explosions may be shown.
Yes, that.
Awesome. So actually, speaking of, The Last Knight received multiple nominations for the Razzies. If you're not familiar, the Razzies, it's basically the bad equivalent of the Oscars. They basically celebrate terrible movies.
So apparently, Transformers The Last Knight actually received the most Razzies nominations this year of any single movie.
Yes, wow. And it's also tied with Age of Extinction for the most Razzies nominations that a Transformers movie has gotten.
So the nominations, Mark Wahlberg for Worst Actor, Josh Duhamel for Worst Supporting Actor, Anthony Hopkins for Worst Supporting Actor, Laura Haddock for Supporting Actress, and...
Oh, that's not nice. She was hot.
Any combination of two humans, two robots, or two explosions for Worst Screen Combo.
Yeah.
And Michael Bay for Worst Director, Worst Screenplay, Worst Remake, Ripoff, or Sequel, and Worst Picture.
I love some of those.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the sad part of it is it was still for a Michael Bay Transformers movie, asterisk. The best, one of the best ones of the bunch.
Yeah.
And it still gets all this.
Stop trying to give the movie any credit,
Don. Well,
it's not
the worst diary I've ever had.
Stop trying to give it any credit at all.
Interestingly enough, as a corollary, Shape of Water got the most nominations for the Academy Awards, which means I really do need to go see it. So, yeah, man, I think it's a favorite for Worst Picture. I don't know what else was nominated, so I can't see anything being, I can't see anything beating it. Maybe I'm wrong.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm sure somebody nominated Justice League.
Justice League was not as bad as,
what?
It was not as bad as that.
I didn't see Justice League, but I heard not great things about
it. It's not good. I mean,
no, it's not good, but it's not a dumpster fire like everybody says.
Yeah. Okay, so, hey, guess
what? Smoldering dumpster, maybe, but not completely on fire.
At tfradio.net/Titan Eater, you can pick up Generations Titans Return, Titan Class Trypticon right now, as of recording, for $99.99 with free Prime shipping. That's a great deal. tfradio.net/Titan Eater. And of course, you can get anything else to your heart's content at tfradio.net/Amazon. It helps us pay for the show. And it's the only way that we monetize, and it's the only way that we actually pay for the show.
But Brian does not recommend the caffeinated toothpaste.
No, there is another way we pay for the show. It's just with Brian's wallet.
It's just with my wallet. And it's
okay. Diecast is not wrong, and I fully support that method of financing.
The thing is, I totally love doing the show, and as a hobby, and it is a hobby. This is not anybody's.
It's a very expensive hobby.
I'm paying anybody's bills.
Yes, we are decidedly nonprofit podcasting organization.
It is a very expensive hobby. Like, not even joking. tfradio.net/Amazon. We would really appreciate it because. Hundreds of dollars a month. tfradio.net/Amazon. Thank you.
Your purchase could help save Brian Kilby's marriage.
Yes. Yes, it really could. tfradio.net/Amazon. Save my marriage. Rob, what's on T-Formers this week?
Not too much. Figure King scans, which show pretty much everything we've talked about so far this week. The Power of the Primes toys that are most decidedly Hasbro Power of the Primes toys. More of Shadow Panther, and it looks like a year later, it looks like Takara is going to be releasing the Transformers The Last Knight Armor Up Turbo Changers in Japan, if I'm looking at that properly. We've got IDW's comic solicitations for April, and there's some really, really nice cover art in there. And also, we got from Lost Light number 13, which is out today, Alex Milne's redesign for Red Alert. I believe he also posted a redesign for Cerebros to Twitter. So, but yeah, Lost Light 13 is out today. And as I've mentioned before, we have discontinued reviewing that because neither of us are really satisfied with it. But that's us. So if you want the book, it's out there. Go get it.
Cool. Awesomeness.
It has interiors by Alex Milne this month, too, if that, you know, tips the balance for you.
Yes. Yes, it does.
Don, what's on the network this week?
What's on the network this week? Superhero Time presents that one episode of Perfect Strangers. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
I should have expected that, though.
So make sure, if you don't follow Chris RTXV on Twitter, he has been all about the Perfect Strangers on Hulu this week.
It's a good show. It's because Hey Mickey has Hulu, and we watched a lot of Perfect Strangers because, as it turns out, it is every bit as good as you remember it being from childhood.
Oh, wow.
I love that show.
It holds up. It really, really does.
And the only thing the only thing that I hold against it is Family Matters.
Yeah, but I mean, except for like a season and a half, there's no like correlation with Family Matters.
Yeah.
But for real this time, what's on the network this week? RPG Lessons Learned, Episode 38, The Metasode. Where RPG Lessons Learned is going in the future? Dusty, Brian, and Mike discuss where they're going to take the show in the future. It's our first ever metasode.
Yes, I should keep in mind how Don's going to read it when I post it to the website.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was always doing that with the Superhero Time summaries.
Yeah, I need to start thinking that. Go ahead,
Don. Also, I was kind of treating that too, like the show notes, where it's just like, what can I get Don to read this week?
Get the Skinny, Episode 63. Winter workouts and caffeinated toothpaste. John and Brian discuss working out in the winter, grocery shopping, President Trump's weight, and caffeinated toothpaste.
So that the President Trump's weight was big news last week, and it's completely fallen off now. So, Diecast, you had some
the
stuff.
Weight certainly hasn't.
You had some reviews up this week, didn't you?
Yeah, I've been trying to be busy. I got an update video for the Power Baser, which shows off a new transformation for it, because it's different than what the instructions say and what some of the photos show, which is surprising because the transformation that I found actually looks like it's meant to do that, because there is a notch and a tab the way I transform it now, and it actually makes it look a little bit fuller in the Power Master Optimus Prime mode. So definitely go check that out. It's not a long video at all because it's just an update video. I also reviewed the Playmates Voltron, the most awesome Voltron ever, because it actually has sound effects that I love. And it looks great. I really, really happy happy about it for the price. And you know, if you're looking at that old Shigokin one, that thing's going for like $600 now on the aftermarket.
Really?
So yeah, that thing is crazy right now, prices wise. And then I also reviewed the Zeta Toys Flyfire, which has a lot of issues that I recommend you checking out if you're thinking about jumping on any of these Zeta toys, because I think it's going to be a problem throughout based on factory. A lot of people have told me they've had problems with that figure, like factory problems that should never happen. Like it's missing wings, or it's missing the air vents, or, you know, the problems that I had that I want to keep a surprise unless you watch the video. So that there's a general amount of bad QC issues going around with thing, or bad packaging issues, just missing parts. That is definitely not good and needs to be addressed. And that's it. That's the three reviews I did in the last couple days.
Very cool. Remember, you can find this episode at tfradio.net/555 with all the links that we have discussed. You can leave us a voicemail at 931-99-GOBOT, 931-994-6268. You can also send us a text at that number as well. We are on Twitter at TF Radio and on Facebook at facebook.com/TF Radio. And again, if you leave us a message on Facebook, I will eventually get to you. It may take months, but I will eventually get to you. We are also on Instagram at TF Podcast. Rob Springer can be found at zonebase.org. And on Twitter at RoboRobSpringer, he is actually, I do want to mention, it looks like that Being Awesome with Rob Springer is going to take a hiatus, probably start posting like once a month. I think Rob's a little burned out. He's the only one, of course, on that show, and he spends quite a bit of time working on it. So I think he's trying to recharge his batteries. So, send Rob some good vibes at RoboRobSpringer on Twitter. And of course, John's not here this week, but he is at ThatJohnD everywhere. I'm on Twitter at BKilby and on Instagram at BrianKilby, BrianKilby. And I post actually a lot of stuff to Instagram now, mostly because it's a proxy to send stuff to Twitter and Facebook. But, you know, it's pretty good. Chris is on Twitter at ChrisRTXV, and he's also on...
You mentioned that already.
Yes, and you're also on Flickr at flickr.com/ChrisRTXV, and he's going to do that one episode of Perfect Strangers soon, I hope. That would be wonderful. I guess not. Don, how do people get a hold of you?
By running faster than me. No, I can be reached... I can be reached on
That's
Twitter.
That's not that difficult, though.
It's not really. I can be reached on usually I have a cat hanging off of me in some fashion, slowing me down.
TFRadio.net/live pre-show is amazing. There was a Massey attack
that I really good one too.
I'm still hurting too. I
can be reached on blood stains on the shirt. I'm impressed.
Yeah,
I can be reached at on Twitter at HMRC the number 4 EVR.
Matt's on Twitter at MELLLVARR. That's at Melvar, because he's not going to tell you otherwise. Diecast.
I'm on Twitter at Diecast2. I'm on Facebook at Reviews by Diecast. Please like my page on Facebook because nobody likes it. There's only like, I only have like 100 people that like my page, so it's really small.
Subscribe to his reviews on YouTube.
And subscribe to my reviews on YouTube if you haven't.
You have way more. You have way more people who are subscribed on YouTube than are on Facebook.
Yeah.
The way I look at it, you're not in business for Facebook. You're in business for YouTube. So, you know, focus on what's important.
Yeah, I mean, but it'd be nice to have a Facebook presence.
That's true.
A little bit. I want to be present everywhere possible.
Are you on Tumblr? Actually, are you posting to our Tumblr? You said you were?
I don't know. I think I think I might have.
Okay. We have a Tumblr. It's at TF Radio. However you get to that on Tumblr, I don't know. But we post all of our shows there. They just automatically auto-post. People look at it, apparently.
No, it's like, it's at TF Radio, however you do that on Tumblr.
Yeah. You know? We don't have a Snapchat.
We're really engaged with that platform, you can tell.
Hey, if anybody out there wants to be like an intern or something for social media, and if I know you and trust you, shoot me a line.
Which basically narrows it down to Eric or Jason.
That's exactly right.
I'm just hung up on Diecast trying to have a presence everywhere possible. So Diecast's goal is to hit Warp 10 and turn into a lizard.
Oh, okay.
My wife's always that. Like, why aren't you coming to bed? And I was like, I'm working on a review. I'll be up in a minute.
So I will mention this. Rob mentioned Threshold.
You have a presence everywhere except for your bed. Your home.
Yes. Rob mentioned Threshold, which was the last episode of that one episode of Star Trek. I still have that pinned at tfradio.net. So I'll probably leave that up for another couple weeks. It's the last episode of that one episode of Star Trek. We have 100 Star Trek reviews. They completely cover the animated series.
To be fair, there's only 22 episodes of that, but you know.
But who else has done
it? We are doing them two at a time.
Yeah. Go to tfradio.net, look for Superhero Time Presents that one episode of Star Trek. It's good stuff. Rob.
I am on Twitter at FlailThroughs and Figure Reviewers. I'm on YouTube at FlailThroughs, still working, basically taking a break because I've been kind of under the weather this week and doing some Gundam Battle Operation as opposed to Gundam Side Stories. That's coming back. And of course the video reviews that XB and I do for T-Formers are on YouTube at T-Formers TV.
Very cool. Okay. Well, guys, we will be back next week. People out there watching live with us, thank you very much. Remember, you can join us at tfradio.net/live every Wednesday. We'll see you next week.
This has been Radio Free Cybertron. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/tfradio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Leave it on our Facebook fan page or mail it to contact@tfradio.net. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons license. Any part of this podcast can and should be redistributed, but please, proper attribution is required if you know what's good for you.
Transformers. It's better than crack.